manager. He's very enthusiastic about different managers at the churches and business. He wants to be part of it, especially knowing that we could be bringing in, you know, people where maybe our hesitancy might be language. So she would like him to be here with them to be an interpreter herself.
Okay.
That's what she has stated.
Who is that? Her name is?
Eve,
okay.
From,
Atlantic. Carol and I talk to her every week on her way in and out. And she's come here a couple of times to the church. She's
okay.
Visited here on a Wednesday night, and the evangelistic meeting, she came one of the nights.
Mm-hmm. So. Okay, good to have her come back, and I hope she can be coming on a regular basis. Anyone else with a testimony? Give us a song. Maybe we can sing another chorus. Another chorus related to my songbook. Anyone? Oh, okay.
I just wanted to ask you, I'm sorry, I forgot to pray for Gladys.
Okay.
Gladys lives in Illinois, she worked with me.
Mm-hmm.
And she was excited because I went to the women's conference. I was shouting and happy and jumping around.
Mm-hmm.
And she came over, oh, Maria, are you born again? I said, yes, I'm born again, I'm 96. So she said, oh, you're not born again, I need to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I said, it's great. So this pastor have a time in this nursing home.
Okay.
So go visit her and her family. She wanted all of her family to come in the church.
Okay.
But she said, I have to speak in my heart, so we definitely have to pray for her.
Okay.
So, yeah.
She works over there?
She's worked over there. She's an LPN.
Okay.
She does 7 to 3 normally.
7 to 3, so she's daytime.
Between this time and shooting.
Same place you work?
Same place where I work.
Okay.
Exactly. Her name is Gladys.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It would
be great to have a whole
family
with you.
Yeah, that would be
good.
All right, yeah.
Okay, wonderful. Anyone else? Go ahead, Ms.
Pat.
4-2 in a hymn book, right? The blue book. 4-2. Go to Like a River, Glorious. Sing the first verse, and then we, about all the time we are going to be having at the stand left. Like a river, glorious, God for fresh perfect, yes, it's glowing, fuller every day. Perfect, yes, it's glowing, deeper all the way. Say upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed. Perfect peace and rest. Sing the last verse. Every joyous trial falling from above, raised upon a fire by the Son of Love. We may trust in song with words of comfort. At this time, Pastor Rice.
Amen. All right, we do have a handout. We can get a couple of
helpers
to pass these out. All right, there's one. I'm walking past that portion here. All right, ladies. Mm-hmm. All right, let's turn to our Bibles tonight as we look at a heart, the discipler's heart for God, Philippians 3 and verse 10. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. And we'll start with prayer for these ones that are on our prayer list here that we mentioned already. Let's pray for each one and for Gladys as well. She's looking for a church. You say Gladys is looking for a church? She said she's not born again, or she is born again?
She's not born again. She's a Catholic, but she wanna be born again. She wanna look for something different.
Oh.
She have, she's not too happy about.
Wonderful.
And
okay.
And I'm not into what I hear that they using the house now for good. Don't tell, I told you, because now she did pray more than ever because soon they're gonna be torn the house. They deposited the money, but because they are late, they don't accept money no more. They want a house, no matter what.
Wow.
They are in a little bit of trouble in there, and but I told her, you know, there is a friend for me.
Yes.
We can work with.
Amen.
She's been in news, and she's happy, but when I was, you know, she was never been, I think, in Christian church, so she don't know how it's that, you know.
That's good. All right.
She's open heart.
Good.
Yeah. I hope when I come back, she is.
Yes. Yeah, I plan on going to see her this week then. And,
I appreciate
that. Yeah, we'll see if we can win her to the Lord. Let's pray for Gladys. All right. All right, let us go to prayer at this time. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessing it is to come to you in prayer any time of the day or night to bring our requests before you. We know that at times we go through trials and tribulations, or people in our life disappoint us, or people in our life change. And Lord, we know that you never change and that you are always the same. We thank you for that. We pray that you'd be with these ones. We think especially of Beverly, Pat's friend, that you just meet her needs at this time, both physically and spiritually. We pray, Lord, as well for an intern for this summer, Lord, that you would provide just the right man to come in and help us with our summer functions. VBT especially, Lord, that you just bring in the right person to be able to help train for the ministry, or someone who's already in the ministry and wants to just deepen their skill set. Lord, we pray you just bring in the right person for the job here, the internship. We pray you'd provide as well for Joey as he moves to Atlantic City. We pray you just help him to get set up in the right place, and that he would be able to commute easier, and we pray that you'd help keep him from any evil there, and that you would just help him to pick good friends, Lord, and help him to get into your word and to grow and to, Lord, we pray you just give him a hunger and thirst after righchteousness. We pray that you'd also be with Sammy as he travels a lot with his job. We pray you just help him and keep him safe on the roads, and Lord, you provide his needs as well, and most importantly, if he's not saved, that he would trust Christ as Savior. And, Lord, that you would just provide for him. And pray for Gladys as she desires to be saved, Lord, desires to be born again. What a great open door that is for a Catholic who's looking to come out. Lord, we know that there's probably a lot of people in a similar situation that are seeing the disillusionment with the Catholic Church and how their leaders have led them astray and have been very abusive. Lord, we pray you just help other Catholics as well to see through the disguise of the devil that's there, and that they would see it's just a form of religion, but without the godliness thereof. We pray you just help them to come in here and in other churches that preach and teach your word, Lord, that you would just send a great revival in our midst. We pray you just meet our needs, help Gladys to be saved, even this week. And be with Maria, that you just take her safely to Brazil and back this Wednesday, that you just keep her safe on the flight. Lord, pray for Brother Danny and his family as they get the house ready. Lord, pray you just give him guidance, wisdom, and direction as he works away out of each day. Lord, you give him what he needs, the strength, guidance, wisdom, and discernment, Lord. And pray you just bless the family. And we ask all these things now as we read your word, that you would just meet our needs. Pray for Brother Roy tonight. Just keep him well as well. And we thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. As we study the heart of the discipler, we all, as I look around the room here tonight, we all are in some capacity discipling someone or teaching someone, or even if it's our peers at school, that we are seeking to make an impact on others for Jesus, seeking to repair hearts. We all need to be in the business of repairing hearts, because the devil is in the business of breaking and shattering hearts. And even at times our own heart gets shattered as perhaps trials, tribulations, disappointments in life and other things. But no matter what we go through, that here we have the prescription right in God's Word for how to get our heart healed through the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 3 and verse 10, let's read this verse together. Philippians 3 and verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Okay, so here Paul sums it up for us. In the Christian life, as we look to help people grow and help people come to Christ, that we need to first, our whole job is that we may know Christ more. That if we are constantly growing in our knowledge of Christ and our love for Him and with Him, that those other things will take care of themselves. That everything else in the Christian life will take care of itself if we will just know Christ and seek to be known of Him. And that is the foundation. So we're on page 35, the foundation for a ministering heart there. Foundation for a ministering heart is attitude. Our attitude. What is your attitude tonight? Is your attitude one of perhaps being burnt out? You know, sometimes in the Christian life, if we're honest, we can get into a place where we get burnt out. You know, maybe. And how does that happen? How does it happen that we get burnt out in the Christian ministry? Well, it's from giving out without taking in the Word of God. That if we're in a place of burnout, that means we're not in the Word and we're not praying as we should. And so we're trying to give out of the overflow, but there's no overflow left. And now we're just giving out of what we have in reserve, and there's really no reserves left. So that burnout can happen in discipleship, and as we grow in the Lord, burnout can happen if we stop spending time with the Lord. And so we don't ever want to get to a place where we're burnt out, because then we'll lash out at people, we'll say things we shouldn't. We all can get to the point of being angry. There's not one of us here that is above that. And so we need to realize that if we're trying to give out and we haven't taken in, if there's nothing there to give out. And so we have to take in. All right, let's go to the first page, page 34. Here's some verses on the heart. 1 Samuel 13:14, the Lord has sought him, a man after his own heart. So we say, we can know what the Lord's heart is. We can know what the Lord's heart is, because all we have to do is look at the one who He said, a man after his own heart. And that was David. David, what was David's key spiritual desire in his life? As you read through the Psalms, what was the key spiritual desire in his life? What would make him a man after God's own heart? Serving God, okay? Even more than serving. Serving is the overflow. Serving is the overflow of a heart that what? He wanted to obey the Lord. He loved the Lord so much in his life that he always wanted to be close to Him. He always wanted to be talking about God, hearing from God, reading His Word, singing about Him. That David was a man after God's own heart because he didn't like it when sin was in the way. You know, and there was a few occasions in his life where he did let sin get in the way. Of course, we know the time with Bathsheba. That was probably one of the longest. Then another time when he numbered Israel, Satan moved on him to number Israel, and that was about an eight-month period of time as well. But you don't read of those cases very much in the scriptures. Why? Because David did not like to be apart from God. Okay, those are the two exceptions to the rule that he just loved to be close to Christ. So you can see that. I was just reading in Psalm 119. You can read some of David's thoughts there in Psalm 119. Psalm 120. Or let's see, I'll just get the verse real quick. You don't have to turn there because you might be searching. It says, "Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. Consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Consider how I love thy precepts, quicken me according to thy loving kindness." And so all through the Psalms you read of David's desire to be close to the Lord through his word. And that should be our heart cry as well. Ecclesiastes 8:11. "Therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil." Okay? The unsaved people who are rebelling against God, guess what? Their heart is not after God. Our heart is not naturally after God. It seeks to do evil. Jeremiah 7:24. "But they hearken not, nor incline their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward." Jeremiah 17:5, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord." Jeremiah 17:9, "The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked, who can know it?" Jeremiah 17:10, "I the Lord search the heart, I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings." Ezekiel 14:3, "These men have set up their idols in their hearts." So it can be an easy thing for an idol to quickly grow in our heart. Anything we set before Christ is an idol. So if we replace Christ with something else, or someone else, or some other activity, or some other person, that is now an idol that we have set up in our heart. Ezekiel 18:31, "Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel?" God asks the question of Israel, why will you die? Why will you turn to sin instead of turning to me? Obadiah 3, "The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee." Matthew 15:19, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies." Okay, now let's go to page 35. So the foundation for a ministering heart is our attitude. Okay, if our attitude is wrong, if our attitude is warped and it's skewered by the world, guess what? We're not going to want to disciple anyone. We're gonna see me, myself, and I, and woe is me, and I've got all my problems, and blah, 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 and it's all about us. Okay? If you're thinking all about you tonight, guess what? Your attitude is missing its focus. The devil has you deceived into looking at yourself when you should be looking at Christ. Amen. And keeping your eyes on Him. Why? Because then your attitude will get better. When you keep your eyes on Christ, then you're going to be others-focused. Then you're going to say, you know what, not woe is me, but you know what, how can I help someone else? There's so many people around me that are going through a lot of things. I want to help them out. You know, we need to have the right attitude, but that attitude has the Word of God. Number two, 1 Thessalonians 2:19. Do you have a regular time in God's Word each morning? It's so important to start out your day in the Word of God, so your attitude can get checked at the door, so to speak. If we have a bad attitude, guess what? Gets checked at the Word of God, and we can leave it. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 19. "For what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not ye, even ye, in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. So what? Who is the object of a ministering heart? Okay. Well, not necessarily. Well, who is the object of our ministering heart? People in, what's that, Danny?
The people that we're sharing the gospel with.
Yes. Well, it could be the unsaved that we're sharing the gospel with, or it could be the Christians that we're seeking to encourage or get back on track, or whoever it is. You know, discipling is mainly to Christians. We, you know, if we want to help, you know, we want to help people come to Christ, but then the hard work starts. Once you lead them to the Lord, that's when the hard work happens. That's when you got to now disciple them. And you got to train them. Train them in the Word of God. You know, over at the Good News Club, we only have those kids. Unfortunately, I wish we could go in their homes and, you know, train them every week, but we only have them for about 5 weeks and then we're done. So we've got to train them as much as possible. So we've been, you know, the first week, sure enough, 7 of them got saved and they were gung-ho about it. And then sure enough, these 7 have been coming back each week and they're hungry for learning the Word of God.
Amen.
So our job is now to disciple them. So we've been teaching them about prayer and how important it is to be connected to God daily in prayer, confessing our sins daily. And then we gave them Bibles that same day and to now start reading the Bible. Some of them can't even read yet. But we're trying to get them instilled into reading the Gospel of John and just reading a few verses or however much they can. And some of them are doing that. And so we're trying to disciple them in these 5 weeks. And it's challenging, especially if they're in a home. Now, some of the homes are Christian and they know the Lord as Savior. But most of the homes are not. Most of the homes are, you know, Catholic or they don't go to church, and this is kind of like they say, well, we want our kids learning something good, so they send them to these things. And so some we only have. There was an Indian boy that came. His name is Deep. Deep came last fall for the 5 weeks that we had, the six, 5 or 6 weeks. But then after that, we didn't see him. It's this spring, he's doing something else, and you know, so some of these kids we only have for a little bit of time. And then their parents, you know, they just want to send them to get them some good morals, you know. And well, little do they know their child has their home written down in heaven, their name in the book of life. And so we're trying to that now go to the parents and try to tell them what has happened to their child. So pray as we try to go into the homes. And I need help. If you can help me go into some of these homes and try to bring them, you know, invite them to Vacation Bible School, but then tell them, hey, your child has trusted Christ. This is what it is. And so we have our work cut out for us. That and if that's all that happens, if all we can do, if the parents say no, I've been to many homes of the Good News Club students, they say, oh, yeah, thank you, and they're very nice, but they never want to come to church. They don't want to send the kid to Bible school, and they just kind of say, okay, now leave us alone. What do you do in those cases? Well, some Christians say, oh, we didn't do any good. No, we're going to see that kid in heaven one day, you know. That's all the good in the world. And you never know now what the Holy Spirit is in that child now.
That's right.
You never know when that child is going to just listen to the conviction of the Holy Spirit and take off and grow and go forward and using the foundation and get into a church and all those things. So we never discount what God puts on us to help people with. So the object of a ministering heart is people. We need to minister to people. And we should not cross off certain people. Well, they don't seem to like me, so I don't want to minister to them. Guess what? If Christ had that as his motto, how many people would he have ministered to? Not many. Because in John 6:66, the vast majority of them left off following him anymore. You know, they said, nah, yeah, that saying you said is too hard for us, we're leaving. So probably thousands left at that point from following him. They were following him for miracles. And so Jesus did not say, oh, I don't like you anymore and I'm not going to keep ministering to you. No, he keeps the door open with people. You never know when they're going to decide to come back. And it's a blessing. Tim and Felony are
They want to come back to our church. So that's a blessing that we just always keep the door open for people and love on them. And sure enough, the Lord rewards in those areas. Philippians 2 and verse 7. Philippians 2 and verse 7. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. So here, what was Jesus' definition of a ministering heart? What is the definition of a ministering heart? Service. Being a servant. Okay, so a person who's ministering, who's discipling, they're serving. They're helping. They're seeing what they can do. Then the goal of a ministering heart, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8. 1 Corinthians 13. Verse 8, it says, what is the goal? Verse 13, verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long, and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. So we see here the goal of a ministering heart is not to get them to agree with you 100%. Not to get them to say you're right. No, it's the goal of a ministering heart is to love them no matter how they treat you in return. To love them and to try to take them from a new Christian to a mature Christian. That's the goal. The goal is to love on them, to take them from a new Christian to a mature Christian. And that doesn't always happen the same way with every person. You know, some people, they're really good in book knowledge. You know, you can go through the discipleship lessons with them, and they're just right in it. Other people, you win them to Christ, and they're not as much a book learner, and so they'd rather have you teach them one-on-one, you know, and they want you to say, hey, you know, this is what I learned, and they'd rather have you talk to them. Others, you lead them to Christ, and they'd rather watch you and go with you, you know, and they want to learn what you do in the Christian life. So everyone is a different kind of learner, and we've got to love on the new converts and show them the unconditional love of the Lord, and especially those that we are trying to win. If we have an unsaved person in our family, we can't say, I'm giving up on you. And close the door. You know, don't ever close the door on anyone. Because that's not what Jesus would do, number one. And number two, you never know when the Lord's going to just be working behind the scenes and they're going to say, you know, teach me some more. You know, tell me some more. Give me another verse of the Scriptures. Right when we least expect it. So the goal of a ministering heart is always love. Unconditional agape love. Number 5, Philippians 2, 16 and 17. Philippians 2, 16 and 17. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. So what was Paul's heart as he was ministering, going from city to city, planting churches, going about seeking to spread the gospel and plant churches in each town? What was the surrender of his ministering heart? You know, what was he surrendered to? He was surrendered to God to do what? Okay. Paul, did everyone get one of these sheets? I think I see some that got the Christian Living series, but I don't see, they didn't get all these. So, okay, how many didn't get this two-page document here? We have some up here.
Yes, some more. I have that one here.
Oh, okay, here they are, Paul. Okay, girls, I think you need to get this sheet here. Did anyone else not get this two-page sheet up here? Okay, here we go. They're wondering where we are. Okay, so Paul was surrendered, and he was willing to what every day for people?
Sacrifice.
It's not taught on much today in the Christian life. I heard one speaker on Christian radio just last week. I think it was on 89.3. 89.3 is family radio. Sometimes they go to 90.7 if there's teaching on 90.7. Flip back and forth, but someone on 89.3 said when he was growing up in a church somewhere, he said that the person that led him to the Lord, his first thing he did was give him a book on when he was a teenager on sacrifice. You need to sacrifice for God, and sacrifice is key to doing all in the will of God and doing all for the Lord, and you know, following the will of God wherever He takes you. He said, now, he says, I don't hear that being mentioned anymore. You know, now it's sacrifice has been replaced with what is convenient. You know, just do what you want to do in the Christian life. Just go to the least common denominator. You know, go to a church that's only Sunday morning where they have good entertainment. You know, what would happen? I read one preacher put on Twitter, he said, what would happen if you to any of those churches where it's a Sunday morning only crowd? And he said, what would happen if you turn on all the lights, put in real light bulbs, take out the music set, and just get in there and preach to them? How many would you have the next week if you did that? Not many. And that's unfortunately what, you know, modern day Christianity is the definition of lukewarm Christianity. It's Jesus is knocking at the door of the Laodicean church saying, he's standing without and he's knocking and saying, open the door and I'll come into you and sup with you. You know, we think we're rich and increased with goods and we have all and we're being blessed, and it's actually just lulling us into complacency. We need to get back to the sacrifice. Living for Christ is sacrificing. And if we sacrifice for Christ, sacrifice my creature comforts, to go out of my way, get out of my couch and go next door to the neighbor, or get out of my couch and pick up the phone and talk to someone who I want to disciple, get off of my couch and text them earlier in the week, hey, can we meet together on Thursday night at Starbucks, you know. Hey, can you do this? And can I come over to your house? Or can we meet at a different place? You know, we need to get out of the place where it's all about us and just vegging and on the couch. And we need to realize, hey, Christians are wanting discipleship, but they need us to teach them. So we need to sacrifice. We need to sacrifice our creature comforts, our time to ourselves, and say, hey, you know, these people need me to learn and grow in the Christian life. And you'll never know then who we'll be able to bring into the church as a result of us taking time to disciple them outside of the church. A lot of times what we do is, hey, and come to church. And if they're newly saved, they don't really know much about church. You know, so we need to teach them first before we say, come to church. We need to teach them what church is. You know, what does it mean to, what is church all about? Why should I come to church? So we need to go through some lessons. So we gave you lesson one of our discipleship Christian living series. Lesson one is on Christian birth, the demand for the new birth, the plan for the new birth, the results of the new birth, and then assurance and security. This is what you want to give to a person that you lead to the Lord. Say, hey, you really need to now get to know your Bible, and you know you can look it up, the table of contents, and you can look up where these books are. And, you know, start them in it. You know, do it with them. Start them, even if you only get this first section completed, with them. It'll create a hunger for them and say, hey, do you want me to come back next week and help you with the next part? You know, and start doing it with them. And that way they gives them a hunger and a thirst for the Word of God. Then lesson two is on the local church, or the Bible. I think it's on the local church, so they can learn what is a church. So if you want lesson two, let me know, and I'll print that out for you. We have these available. These are our sixth lesson series on how to discipling someone. And I like it because it's simple. It's not a lot of pages. Simple. They can work at it, and they can do it on their own, or they can do it with a person. Okay, so here the activity. What is the activity of a ministering heart? 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3. Who has that one? 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3. Who's there? You have it, Pat? Okay. One in verse three, yes.
Remembering yourself teaching your word of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and the Father.
Okay, so what is the activity of a ministering heart? As we're taking in the Word of God and praying and seeking the Lord, Lord, who can I help? Who can I help? What's then God going to put on us to do? He's going to give us that labor of love. He's going to give you that labor. He's going to help you with that labor. You're going to be able to help someone. God's going to bring someone into your midst that either comes over to your house or meet at a neutral place or you go to their house or you come to church with them, and God's going to give you that person, and you can then perform that labor of love in their life, of ministering to them. That we all need to be helping someone in their Christian life. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8. Who has that one? Okay, Danny. Okay, so what is the example of a ministering heart as well? As they watch you, as they grow in the Lord, as you teach them, they're also going to be watching your balance. How are you balancing all the different responsibilities of your life? Balancing your work, or your retirement, or your church life, and your family life. You know, how does that all work to balance all those things? Well, that's where it comes into play. We need to be balanced in the Christian life. We can't be all always out reaching out to someone else, and meanwhile our family at home is not doing well. You know, we need to have our family be our first ministry, as Pastor Logan mentioned last week. Our family is our first ministry. So if we've not discipled our own family first, or if they're lacking the spiritual help that they need, if we're not reading Scripture in the home, or if they're not reading it for themselves and we're not reading it to them, then guess what? They're going to start lacking in their own life, and we're missing our first ministry, which is to our family. So there has to be balance in all things in ministry. We need to be balanced in making sure that our family is getting ministered to as well. And if they're not, start there. Start in the family, discipling them, and then reach out as you can. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 18. Okay, who has that one? Yes, 2 Corinthians 5, 18. Okay, so what is the purpose of a ministering heart? Yes, the purpose. What are we doing? We have been called to this word of reconciliation, or ministry of reconciliation, as it says in chapter 4. We have been called to the word and ministry of reconciliation. We are helping to reconcile people unto God. just like someone else helped us to be reconciled to God. We're now returning the favor for someone else. And then discipling them, that new Christian, to help them learn. And then they can then, in turn, then win someone else to Christ and then disciple their convert. So we are keeping this process going in the Christian life. And so our job is, our purpose is reconciliation. Then number 9, the last one, Romans 14, 19. Romans 14 and verse 19. Who has that one? Danny?
Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another.
Okay, the work of a ministering heart is rebuilding. You are rebuilding that heart. You're edifying that heart from where it was, unsaved. Let's go to the next page, and that you'll see the chart, how we understand this. So before someone is saved, what does their heart look like on this chart page? This is a really nice page. It's broken. It's broken. What's in their heart?
Sin.
They're hateful. You know, we were all here. Hateful, bitter, evil, lustful, blind, stony, proud, hard. So really, can we blame someone who we're trying to witness to for rejecting the gospel, rejecting what we have? No, because they're blinded right now. Their heart is broken, okay? It's broken because of sin, and they're continuing to go through a broken cycle of sin. Okay, so they need to get out of that broken cycle of sin and realize their heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, and they shouldn't follow it anymore. And they need to believe in thine heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. So then God can take their broken heart, if they'll just give it over to Christ,
amen,
and he can heal their heart. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as are of a contrite spirit. So when they get to a point where they're humble, you know, a lot of times you wonder, when is this person I'm looking for ever going to believe on the Lord? Well, they really have to humble themselves. When they start getting humble and contrite, that's when they're close. The rich young ruler, he was starting to get broken over his sin. He was starting to get contrite. Or the lawyer, not the rich young ruler, but the lawyer was starting to say, well, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. What is the greatest commandment? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and him only shalt thou serve, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus said, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Why was that lawyer not far from the kingdom of God? Why? Because he was starting to get a contrite heart. Starting to realize, hey, it's not about a list of do's and don'ts. It's about loving the Lord with all your heart. So Jesus sensed that he was very close to coming into his kingdom. And so we don't know. We don't know what happened to him. But that's what happened. So then God then heals their heart when they come to Christ for salvation. And he uses the Holy Spirit, the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. So as we counsel people, Kayla and I were talking about psychology and Christian counseling this morning before Sunday school. She's taken a class in high school on psychology. I said, yeah, I learned about the same things you're learning about. You know, Carl Rogers and B.F. Skinner and Spock and all those other, you know, psychologists. And their model, the secular model, is you have to realize that man just needs reforming. And we just need to be reformed. And so you have to, if you can change the environment of man, you know, that's what one of them said. You can change the environment and you can change the person. Well, so they tried that. They changed the environment. You know, they give people a brand new house and they take away the bad friends they have, and they put, guess what happens to the people? They make that brand new house very destructive again. It's all a shambles. So that they found out that didn't work. And so they keep trying these new models of psychology, trying to reform a person. But here, the only reformation that's possible, it can only come through regeneration, not reformation. You have to change the heart within by having acknowledging the sin. The root issue is not a problem. The root issue is sin, which destroys us.
Right.
sin will take us to hell and destroy us. And so the psychologist needs to get a biblical principle of healing the heart from the inside out, not from the outside in. Not reforming won't help people, but a true heart change will. Then once they're healed through then coming to Christ, then you disciple them. Our job is then to rebuild the heart, edify it in the Word of God. So then the new heart will look like this. When they get to be a mature Christian, the new heart will look reconciled. It will look like a giving heart, a serving heart, a counseling heart, a ministering heart, an attending heart, a waiting and exhorting heart. And that's what the Isaiah 57:15 says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." So our goal is to rebuild hearts. Well, of course, we're not doing the rebuilding. We're pointing them to Christ, who can rebuild them.
Amen.
And so our job is to then invest in them and spend time and how you know and rub shoulders with them so we can disciple them, that they can then take on that process and do it for someone else. So that is our goal, and that is Christian biblical counseling. Let us bow together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time tonight to be reminded of the great heart of the many different men and women all through the Scriptures that they had, first of all for you, that they loved you with all their hearts. And then out of the overflow of their relationship with you, then they were able to help people and help change people through the gospel and through the Word of God.
Amen.
Lord, we pray you'd help us to follow in that line of faithful disciplers, that we would, as Paul said, that we would commit to faithful men what you have entrusted to us, that we would entrust it to others also, Lord, that we would take them under our wing, Lord. Help us not to be comfortable in our own life and selfish, but help us to be sacrificial and loving and giving of our time, talents, and abilities to help someone else, Lord. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let us turn in our hymn book as we close tonight. And let us sing one last hymn of invitation. And perhaps you would say, you know, Pastor, I want the Lord to help to use me as a discipler. I want to be used of the Lord. I want to sacrifice for God. And I know that I need more in my life of an overflow so that I can give out to others. Well, let us ask the Lord to do that work in our life tonight. And let us sing. Looking for a good hymn that would go along with this. Sweet will of God, draw me closer. Let's turn over to that one as we... 453, let's all stand together as we sing this song as a prayer to God. And if you need to come for any reason, maybe your heart is broken for someone you're trying to witness to, or you're trying to disciple and they're not quite going forward for God, would you come and pray for them tonight? 453, let's sing this song.
Thank you.
this time. Brother Bob, would you please close?
Father God, we thank you, Lord, for an additional look at your word. We know that the heart has got to be harnessed to do the work here, but we know that it has to undergo change because we have to be totally willing to sacrifice and to do your work and to be involved in it, and beyond that, even to live it. We just ask, Lord, that you would give us the strength as we would seek to follow the steps that you lay out so perfectly in your word, whereby we can be transformed into servants of yours. And we just ask, Lord, that we would have a continued burden for those who are lost, that let us be able to present to them a clear reason why they need the Lord Jesus, and to incorporate that into their lives. And we just ask that you would use each and everything that is in your design to bring them to you. We know that there's a tremendous revival ahead, which is given in prophecy in your word, and we really basically look forward to that, Lord, because we know that you will really empower that work in a colossal way that we might never have seen before. We just ask, Lord, that your work would get done at all possible costs, and that we would be put aside or put on hold until such time as your work can be completed. We just ask, Lord, that if a revival is required here, we just pray that you would begin that revival with each one of us.
Amen.
And in our hearts, our attitude, once that is right, then the rest will fall into line. We just thank you so much for giving us your word and letting us know exactly how things will go as we seek to do your work and to live your work. And we just ask these things tonight in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.